You are listening to the Developing Up Podcast.
This is the podcast focused on the non-technical side of being a developer.
And good evening, Mike. How's it going?
It's pretty tiring, Jake.
Pretty tiring?
Yeah, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Very busy, but can't complain.
I totally agree with the busyness.
So what's going on with you? Are you you're just very tired?
Yeah, new responsibilities, which I'll be happy to announce at the end of the episode to our audience. But new responsibilities that have had me have a lack of sleep and have to balance work and life a little bit more. But it's all in good fun.
Awesome. Well, we're all on the edge of our seat. Well, we're all very excited to hear what the news is, Mike.
All right, Jake. Well, listeners, you're going to have to listen through the whole thing to find out. A nice little teaser at the beginning.
Open loop.
Yeah. But today, Jake, as the final episode of our first season of The Developing Up, I can't believe we've completed the whole season.
I know. It's unbelievable. It feels like just yesterday when we started, and we've learned so much throughout the process, both from a technical standpoint. I know that I personally feel like I've learned a lot through speaking and trying to articulate thoughts, but I've also learned a lot from you and speaking with you about all these great topics. So I hope that our listeners can also agree that they have gotten some value out of this.
I hope they have gotten value. Jake, I really appreciate, though, what you just said. I've enjoyed spending time talking with you and all these across these 24 episodes. And I know we've had a lot of fun and great conversations on the mics and off the mics as well in between episodes. So we'll cherish this first season of the Developing Up Podcast for sure.
It's been a good one.
So with that, listeners, what we're talking about today, everything in life goes through changes. And as a developer, your career, you're going to see many changes in your career. So that's what we wanted to highlight today, was how to manage changes. And I think there are three main areas as a developer where you see the most changes in your career. And Jake, I don't know if you'll agree with me on these ones, but the first one would be managing and dealing with changes in your projects and changing in project requirements and client asks and what you need to build.
Absolutely. That's a huge aspect of change. And change is one of those things that is going to happen inevitably. The way you handle change is going to dictate the outcome of that change. And even though it might happen against your will or unexpectedly, that's going to say a lot about how you handle it yourself.
Yeah. And with, you know, project changes and changes to project requirements, those are one of those types of changes where you're not going to have very much control over it.
Now,
you're never going to have any control over it, probably. One where you may have a little more control is changes in your role or your responsibilities in your development career. And that could be, you know, getting a promotion because the hard work you've done, moving to a new position or a new career or a new company and the changes that come along with that. And it could be jarring to a developer or to anyone making a career change like that or a change to a new role. And there's a lot of aspects of how you handle your new sense of responsibilities and roles.
And how you work with other people as you move into those roles.
That's a good point as well, Jake. Yeah, how you move and interact with other people as you change your roles across your development career. And then finally, the big one that just everybody deals with is just changes in life. They come at you unexpectedly, or sometimes you know they're coming, and it can cause a disruption in your professional career and your development career. Being able to manage those in a positive way will really affect how you approach your work in your day-to-day.
Well said, Mike.
Well, thank you, Jake.
So I think we can all agree that change in some degree is inevitable in any of these three areas, but let's talk about why change is really important, or rather, why it is important to be able to deal with change.
And I would say to deal and manage change responsibly, effectively, positively.
I think all those
adjectives. First and foremost, I would say, Jake, that if you manage changes and you approach them with a positive point of view, they're going to act as positive experiences in your career. So you're going to start seeing changes. And we've mentioned this in other episodes. If you come at them with a positive point of view, you're going to see changes as positive challenges that are going to help you grow and move to that next level in your development career.
I think maintaining that optimism is really important, because if you can look at changes as a positive aspect of your life, then you're more likely to actually make change, particularly when change needs to happen, as opposed to avoiding change or not making a necessary change, which can end up stagnating you, can end up stunting your progress, or just hold you back from the next big thing in your life.
Yeah, having that fear of not making any changes because you don't want to deal with them, that's going to lead to stagnation. And we've talked about the disadvantages of stagnating in your development career. And as well as, if you have to deal with changes and you don't know how to manage them well, or you don't manage them at all and you just kind of let them go off the rails, those changes start to become roadblocks and distractors and negative factors in your day-to-day, in your long-term career, in how you interact with other people. And it doesn't promote a healthy growth.
Yeah, it sure doesn't. No one wants that. Those should be avoided at any cost.
Yes, they should be. So why should you know how to manage change and manage it effectively? Because changes are going to happen in your career, in your projects, in your roles and responsibilities, and in life. And you want to treat as many of those as possible as positive influences.
So maybe let's start from the first of those three. So managing project requirements or changes in project requirements, which is something that as developers, we're all very familiar with. And we go through those motions almost on a daily basis.
Yeah, I'd like to hear from any listeners who have never had a project manager or a client come up to them and be like, actually, that thing we asked you to build, we wanted to do this other thing instead. And we're not going to give you any extra time or money to do it.
Yeah, never happens.
Never.
So back in episode 6, we talked about three key phases that you need to know to be a great developer. Remember what those are, Mike?
Oh, I most definitely do, because I use them every day, Jake. So the three phrases you need to know to be a great developer is yes, no, and I don't know.
All of those are really important, all three of those. But I believe that I don't know is the most important to be confident in saying, because when you say I don't know, you might feel as if someone thinks you're not taking yourself seriously, or that you are not confident in your own affirmation or your own choices. But saying I don't know is actually a really powerful tool that you should learn to use as a developer, because when you say I don't know, it allows you to pause and get back to someone with a more definitive or informative answer.
Yeah, it's great in those situations when you have those project requirement changes and someone says, hey, this thing we asked you to build, we need to do this other thing, can you do it? You're not just gonna say right away yes or no, but being confident to say, I don't know, let me take a look at what it might take and come back to you with an estimate of effort or time or whatnot.
And another thing we discussed in that episode as well, by the way, that is episode number 6. So you can listen to that episode, or if you've already listen to it again at developingup.com/6. Another thing we said in that episode, Mike, is to, when appropriate, avoid the word no and replacing it with yes if. That's not meant to be an overly happy, positive, rainbow scenario, but you can say yes to just about any single situation, even when your initial answer might feel like it should be no. So if someone asks you to get their website at the top of Google, you can say, yes, that can be done if, and yeah, obviously it depends on many other factors. And being able to say yes if shows that you have every intention of delivering what someone is asking of you, but there are certain criteria that needs to be met in order to do that.
Yeah, and the benefit of that, and I believe we talked about this in the episode, Jake, is phrasing that feedback in the more positive yes keeps someone that you're talking to in the positive. As soon as you say no, they maybe go on the defensive because they're just going to hear you say no, and no matter what excuse you give them, all they're going to hear is that no. So if you say yes, all of a sudden they're excited because, oh, the developer is saying, yes, I can do this. And then you follow it up with the caveats or the requirements that it'll take. Now, once you're able to say, you know what, I don't know what it will take to complete this change in this project requirement, a great place to go from there to manage these changes effectively, Jake, we mentioned in episode 18, which was about task estimation techniques and how to develop effective estimates that you can be confident in delivering back to people.
Right, and estimates are really difficult. We certainly covered how we feel about estimates in that episode, but they're very difficult because oftentimes you're trying to put numbers to something that you don't have a full understanding of. So it's really difficult to give an accurate estimate because there are so many unknowns. So one of the most important aspects of that is to establish what you know versus what you don't know. And even establishing what you don't know, just because you don't know, it doesn't mean you can't ask questions or dig for more. And even if you can't get information in that realm, you can at least still make assumptions. And you could say, well, assuming that we're going to do this, it might take or might cost this. Whereas if you do something like that, it may cost this or might take that.
Yeah, and I'd be weary with using the word assumption, Jake, for estimate. But you can make assumptions, as long as you articulate those assumptions out. Especially with these sort of estimates.
I guess that's what I meant. It's kind of providing options or not cementing yourself into a certain obligation, but saying that if you go this route, it may take that.
And that's what's great about trying to establish what you know and don't know and phrasing those into questions. So when your project requirement change, you can ask, well, this is what I understood the requirements to be. Can you explain to me why they change, or can you explain to me what is different? And getting all the information you need to be able to start to work on some sort of estimate. Now, to actually then go ahead and build the estimate, we talked about using an estimate system to aid you in calculating it, not just flying off the hip.
There is a acronym that we use there, PERT, right?
Yeah, the PERT system, which we talked about from the Clean Coder.
The Clean Coder.
Yeah, it's an old method where you develop, you develop a low estimate and a high estimate, and you provide a mathematical formula that gives you like the average.
Right, so I forget what the actual words were, but it was assuming like nothing goes wrong, everything goes according to plan.
And then everything goes wrong,
and then the median is somewhere in between those two.
We talked about that. We talked about comparative, which is more of using your past experiences to compare what the work you have to accomplish or what you know you need to do versus something similar in the past and how long that took you or what sort of roadblocks you may have hit with that, and using that to help base your estimate.
Right. Chances are, as a developer, we fall into situations where we could reinvent the wheel, but we don't always need to. So if we can learn from history to inform our future, that's also very helpful.
And then as well as using something like Planning Poker, if you can use your team to help develop an estimate for the work you have to do to meet these changes, you know, more minds the better. And you can have those people on your team help maybe think of other questions you didn't think to ask or provide insights that just didn't occur to you.
Right. And then once you've actually created an estimate, you need to deliver it, and then you need to be able to discuss it. You need to be able to defend it. And it's not meant to be an argument, but you need to be able to stand behind those numbers. And those numbers should have been arrived at with some sort of objective or with some sort of information behind them to help inform those numbers. So make sure that you're delivering that estimate, speaking to it in as much detail as needed. And I think it also is really important to get sign off from someone else as well. So if you, like Mike, you and I work together on estimates every now and then, and there are often items in that estimate that I am not comfortable with estimating, so I work with you. And getting buy-in from other members of your team or members of other teams to help put that estimate together is also really helpful in developing a solid estimate.
Yeah, and once you have that internal sign off, making sure that your estimates are articulated to the client, the project manager, whomever you're giving these estimates to for these changes, and making sure they understand this. Actually, Jake, goes back to the yes, no, I don't know, that yes, it will take this long if these situations occur. Do you agree with that? Make sure they sign off, they understand what you're telling them, and then moving forward to figure out what plan to go with. And then once you have an estimate for the changes in your project requirements that you're going to implement. In episode 17, we actually talked about what to do after that in developing a plan.
So that was episode 17, which is developingup.com/17. And in that one, we talked about another acronym called the DROP method.
One of us created.
I believe it was you.
Oh, probably.
I think I made soccer.
You made soccer in a different one, yeah.
Anyways, DROP was good. So D, define the endpoint that you were trying to reach. So this means you don't want to just start and jump into something without actually knowing what direction you're trying to move in.
Right. And that's where the benefits of the yes, if in developing the estimate comes into play, because by that point, with that sign off, everyone should know what the endpoint goal is for that change, what you're trying to work on.
Right. And then research what you need to get the task done. So that also can play a part in coming up with an estimate, but understanding what needs to be done. So defining that endpoint, researching what you actually need to get there. And then that brings us to outline. And that is where you actually come up with the plan in which you're going to tackle things.
Yeah. And who needs to be involved, who's going to take on which tasks, and how you're going to get these responsibilities and these changes made. And then with that, the final part of drop is prioritize. You have your plan. You need to prioritize what needs to happen first. Think of things in order of dependencies and work on the route that everything else depends on and move to the next important thing, the next important thing until you get those changes made.
It's a good acronym.
It was a good anagram. Oh, anagram. Wait, a good acronym.
I was going to wait for you to say it. I don't know if all the things we just talked about will make you an invincible developer when it comes to dealing with a project change or change of a project requirement. But I think it's pretty safe to say that if you have confidence in all of those things we just discussed, that you're pretty well equipped to handle any sort of change that comes through your project.
Yeah, if you can face a project change with the confidence to say, I don't know, let me get back to you, with a clear way of creating an estimate for those changes and then a way to develop a solid plan of implementing, it's going to be a positive change. You're not going to have to worry about it.
Right.
So this next type of changes, Jake.
So we talked about making changes or dealing with changes in your roles or responsibilities.
Yeah. And again, this could be either, hey, you've gotten a promotion, good for you. You've moved to a new job for new challenges, good for you. Maybe you've just moved laterally to a different role, or you've been given more responsibilities. Each one of those, they could add extra stress to your life, but being able to deal with those changes positively they're all opportunities to grow your career.
One of my favorite episodes, it's really difficult to pick the favorite, but getting comfortable with being uncomfortable. I believe that was episode 10, developingup.com/10. And I'm really passionate about this topic because when you put yourself in a situation of unfamiliarity, good things happen. You learn from them no matter what. And you may learn that you don't want to go in that direction. And that's totally fine. But at least now you know that you don't want to go in that direction, and you're not going to wish you went in that direction or wonder what would happen if you did go in that direction. So get comfortable with being uncomfortable, face new responsibilities, seek responsibilities, seek new opportunities, and try to have a positive mindset when you take that approach.
Yeah, I think that was the root of it, Jake, for that episode, was going into these new responsibilities, anything that you're uncomfortable with, the mindset that, know what, no matter how this turns out, I'm going to learn something. And again, that's that positive mindset for those changes. As well as we talked about with getting comfortable with being uncomfortable with your new role, your new responsibilities. If you're nervous about, let's say, a new responsibility you're taking on, if it's something you're not used to, think of what the worst case scenario is. And it's probably really not that bad. And then what the best case scenario is in dealing with that change. And then focus on the best case scenario. Keep that positive mindset to be like, this is the best outcome that could happen. I'm going to focus that I think I'm going to cause that best case scenario.
Right. So focus on the good and keep yourself motivated by thinking of good in the past. So think of your past successes. What are the things that you've done to get to this point? What have you done right? How can you keep that momentum going?
Yeah. And I think any of the situations where you find yourself in a new role or new responsibilities, that's due to your past successes and something that others have noticed in you that have caused them to think that you could take on these new challenges. So use that as motivation for yourself. And again, that's a positive thing to deal with those sort of changes.
I'm not sure where I heard this or if I've said it on this podcast before. It was in a book or another podcast, but I don't even remember who it was. So this is really not helpful, but a phrase that resonated with me was that where you are today is the result of what you were doing 2 years ago. And I always really liked that. It's really good pick-me-up whenever you're thinking, ugh, what am I doing? Have I made the right choices? If you're ever having some serious self-doubt, think of where you were 2 years ago, because it certainly wasn't as far along as you are now. look at how far you've come. And for me, that's really good motivation to continue forth and thinking, all right, what can I be doing now that is going to benefit me in 2 years?
I think that's a great way. I was just going to say, thinking about it that way, about what you're doing now is how that affects your future. That should really help motivate you for being uncomfortable and facing those uncomfortable situations with fearlessness in right. your development career. So like, you're going to learn something new, and it's 2 years from now, you're going to look back and be like, oh, that was easy compared to what I'm doing now.
And I'm glad I did it, because look where I am.
Yep. Now, of course, with moving into new roles and responsibilities and the changes that come with those, you're going to make mistakes. And you don't want to fear making mistakes, because they're great growth opportunities. And we talked about handling mistakes gracefully as a developer back in episode 11. So that's developingup.com/11. And first and foremost, Jake, you know, we talked about treat mistakes as learning opportunities. I see a real trend through here about learning opportunities and treating things as learning experiences.
I want to give Mike the high five here, because he's the one who deserves the credit. When we outline episodes, or when we come up with topic ideas, Mike arranges them in a way that is very linear. So every episode, I don't want to say it picks up exactly where the last episode left off, but it's linear and it's consistent and cohesive.
Well, Jake, just like writing good code, you want it to be a story that you're telling with every function. So I think that's a bit of a stretch for analogy.
I like it, though.
But thank you. But yeah, so learning opportunities and treating, that's what every mistake is, and coming at mistakes with a positive learning mindset.
Really important point. Treat mistakes as learning opportunities, and that, you know, that reinforces the positivity we talk about. Don't be afraid to admit you make a mistake. Call out when you make a mistake, because it reassures other people that you are not someone who's trying to hide anything. You're not sneaky. You are accountable. And it also encourages others to be accountable and to be able to admit when they make mistakes as well.
And then I think it shows responsibility, because you don't want to wait until someone else calls you out on a mistake. You don't want to be the person who was called out to be dropping the ball. You want to raise your hand early and often and say, hey, I'm having a hard time with this. I screwed this up. Can someone help me learn how to do it better?
Right. And, you know, avoid repeating those mistakes and by not making assumptions. And don't be afraid to ask for help either. I think these are all really, really important aspects of mistake making, is being able to take responsibility and hold yourself accountable for them. And if you're on a team, whether or not you're on a team of other developers or you're a lone developer working with other people in other aspects of the project, lead by example. And we talked about leading by example in episode 13. And leading by example, whether or not you're a manager managing people or whether you're not managing anyone, identify the change that you want to be, that you recognize that is important, and act on it. Other people will see that, and those good qualities will rub off on other people. And that's a great way to foster a healthy culture and a strong team.
Yeah, and dealing with changes in your role and responsibility and leading by example, no matter what position you're moving into or responsibilities you're taking on, communicate with others on your team and collaborate with them on those ideas that you have that have to do with your role and responsibility. Show others that you're excited to do what you're doing, to be in the position you're in, and that you really want to put forth the effort to do it, and that you appreciate their feedback, and use your team to help you grow, like stand on their shoulders, and also bring them up with you, because then they're going to rise you up. Now, not only collaborating with your team, whether you're a team of one or you're a team of 50 and communicating your ideas, but you want to perform and demonstrate your ideas with confidence. This is another thread that we're carrying through, I'm seeing through our episodes, Jake, is having confidence in your abilities and what you do. Whether you have to have some sort of imposter syndrome and fake it till you make it attitude towards it, do it with confidence. Be proud of yourself and the work you're doing. This goes back also to the episode of making mistakes. Don't fear making mistakes, and you can focus on any change and any challenge with confidence.
I would agree, Mike. People feel afraid to take those kind of risks and to try to make those changes because they feel like they're going to let themselves down. They feel like they're going to let others down. But if you learn from your mistakes, you take responsibility, and you hold yourself accountable for everything within your power to be accountable for, then no one can fault you for making a mistake, and you can't fault yourself either. As long as you're learning from it and dealing with that change appropriately, then you're golden, baby.
Yeah. I want to say, I don't know if this is an actual phrase, and if it's not, I'm going to take credit for it, but it probably is. But every mistake seemed like a good idea at the time, sort of mindset.
Yeah.
So don't worry about it. So managing changes with your changes to your role or your responsibilities, you know, get comfortable being uncomfortable with those new challenges. Any mistakes that you're going to make, handle them with confidence and don't worry about them too much. And then lead by example with your new roles and responsibilities. Take those challenges on with confidence and head on and know that you can do it.
Love it. So we talked about managing changes in your project or changes in project requirements. We talked about changes in your roles or changes in your responsibilities. Let's talk about making life changes.
Yeah, so life changes, whether you're a developer or not, they come at you. And it can affect your professional career. And everybody, any developer you work with, anyone on your team, anyone in your company, yourself included, you're not just a developer, you're a person. So there's so many aspects of your life that affect your day-to-day. So how to manage those effectively and keep everything in balance is really important.
I believe one of the most important aspects of managing changes in your career in a positive way is to always make sure that you're progressing. And to bring it full circle, the end of season one to the beginning of season one, we talked about goals. Still one of my favorite episodes. Yeah. I know they can't all be my favorite, but...
Well, they can be. They can. It's like trying to pick a favorite child, Jake.
So we talked about SMART goals and dumb goals. And SMART goals... I know what a SMART goal is, Mike. I just forget what it stands for. Why don't you tell us what they stand for?
All right. So in episode one, which I think Jake has our longest title, using dumb goals and SMART goals to grow your development career, we talked about, dumb goals and SMART goals. Should I break down SMART goals first or dumb goals first?
I'll let you decide.
All right. So I'm going to go with what we did in the episode where you start with a dumb goal, which stands for dream guided, uplifting, method friendly, and behavior based.
Or dangerously unattainable, monstrous, and big.
Monstrous, or that one.
Monstrously big.
Dumb goals are those big, grand ideas that I will do X, Y, or Z. Jake and I will have the world's best developing podcasts, right? That's a big dumb goal.
We talked about going to the moon as a human race being a dumb goal. The technology at the time, the capabilities did not exist. But if we had not set out to do that, then it probably never would have happened. Right. But look at what it has done for us.
And so you take that big, dumb, uplifting goal and you break it down to SMART goals, which stand for specific, measurable,
attainable,
realistic, and timely.
I did know.
See? Nicely done, Jake.
I just forgot about what the S stood for. So, like you said, Mike, taking dumb goals that are these very large shoot-for-the-moon kind of goals and breaking them down into SMART goals, which are measurable, and as long as they meet all the criteria of that acronym, there's really no reason you should not be able to achieve them.
And what's great with those SMART goals is in using them to deal with life changes positively and focus on how you want to grow is you work towards them a little bit every day. Establish behaviors in your day-to-day that allow you to make some progress. So I like to say to people, when you wake up in the morning, think about what am I going to do today to progress my goals? And when you go to bed at night, think about what did I do today to progress my goal?
Setting little goals every day is really helpful. And we actually talked about some goal tracking mechanisms throughout different episodes of the podcast, but really good jump off is the very first episode, which is developingup.com/1.
Yeah. And then so with making that little progress, and you want to evaluate the progress you're making with not just the daily check-ins with yourself, but you know, quarterly, monthly, with yourself, with your manager for your career goals, or someone else, mentor or whatnot. And what you want to look for is, are you making progress towards your goals? Because what that's going to tell you, if you're not making any progress, it's been a whole quarter, you haven't progressed an ounce at your career goal. Is that really the goal for you? Is what have you been focusing your energy and your time on? And maybe you should use that to evaluate what is important to you in your life and what changes you need to make to then adjust to really reach the goals you want to work towards.
The core importance of goals is being able to better yourself. And goals can change because the definition of what it means to be a better you can change as well. So just because you don't finish a goal doesn't mean you've failed, or you're only really failing if you give up, right? So if you change your goals, but you're working towards being a better person or better developer or whatever it is that you want to be better at, well, that's good.
Yeah. So not completing your goals is not a failure. It's a learning opportunity, once
right.
again, to learn where in your development career, where you actually want to go and what you want to learn.
So we also talked about early on, Mike, in this season of the podcast, in episode 4, why it's important that you maintain a healthy work-life balance. And burnout was a recurring theme that we talked about throughout many episodes as well.
It was, yeah. We also have an episode on burnout. Episode 3, maybe?
Well, anyways, in that episode, we talked about a number of different kinds of burnouts, how you can identify them, how you can deal with them, and then also how you can prevent them from happening in the first place, which isn't always guaranteed, but very good episode. And burnout is a really key aspect of maintaining a healthy work-life balance. And work-life balance doesn't necessarily mean you're overworking yourself. It can also mean that you're partying too much, or you're spending too much time not you know, staying up late at home and not sleeping well enough, so you're too exhausted to perform your job during the day. So maintaining a healthy work-life balance is really important when it comes to dealing with your burnout.
With managing life changes positively, you want to keep an eye out how you're balancing your work and your personal life. Be wary, like Jake was just mentioning, of burnout and the signs of burnout. And be wary of when you're underperforming or you're really distracted from your career or your job. It's a balance, and you have to pay attention to both sides of it just to help leverage those changes that happen in your life, and you adjust your work-life balance accordingly. So one of the ways we talked about doing that is by keeping a separation between work and life. And I mentioned one of my favorite personal systems, the buffer zone.
The buffer zone.
Which, to recap real briefly, you can hear more about it in episode 4 at developingup.com/4. But the buffer zone is when I get off the train in the morning for my commute, I have about a 12-minute walk from the station I get off at to our office, Jake, and I don't think about work at all in between that area. I treat it as a physical buffer where I let my mind wander, I pay attention to the sights and sounds around me, and I just clear my head. And then once I get into the office, I'm in work mode. And then at the end of the day, when I leave the office, I clear my head for that 10-minute walk. And then once I get home or once I get on the train, then I'm not thinking about work. I'm thinking about my other responsibilities. So keeping that separation helps prevent me from being distracted in either at home or at work with the other aspect, and keeping them in check.
I, prior to hearing about your system, I always had trouble, and I still have trouble sometimes, creating a divide between work and life. But after taking that, I mean, I use the same route to get to work every day too, but it wasn't until I actually started thinking about it as a buffer zone that it really did help me to leave things at work.
Has it been helping you?
It has been helping
me. That's great.
It has been helping me big time. And obviously there are certain days where stressful things happen and you deal with them how you do. But yeah, actually identifying it as a mechanism of separating your work and life, as opposed to just going about it how you normally do every day, does make a big difference. So I'd recommend you trying that out, dear listener.
Yeah, find your own sort of buffer zone. You don't necessarily have to go somewhere, but you could, you know, take, if you work at home, you could take a walk around your block. You could even meditate for 5 minutes or whatnot. Just a way to mentally separate those two aspects of your life.
Yeah, and if you can find a way to work it into your daily routine, then that's all the better.
Yeah, and that's the other important part about maintaining a healthy work-life balance and treating life changes positively in this way, is that developing a self-routine that works for you that allows you to balance those things. So having the buffer zone, having I believe we mentioned having some sort of task management system that works for you to keep in check what you're working on and your priorities, and just figuring out ways that you can have a routine that allows you to balance all aspects of your life. Well, and then finally, with managing life changes in a positive way, just last episode, Jake, we talked about how to keep your day fresh. That's episode 23, so developingup.com/23. And I think the most important takeaway from this episode was finding ways to extract positivity from every day.
That can be a really difficult thing to do when you slip into the habit of a routine monotony. when every day begins the same, you go to work, you have the exact same motions that you go through, you tend to start thinking of things negatively. And that's not healthy for you in the short term or the long term. So trying to find little things, whether they're new or not, but positive things that you can look forward to, things that make you feel good, things that are uplifting for you or even the people around you, is a really great way to keep your day fresh and exciting.
So such as having goals that you're working on every day that gives you a little something little to work on every day, something new to try or some new challenge to focus on.
Yeah, chipping away, making progress at something much larger.
Or, you know, going back to changes in roles and responsibilities, if you find yourself in a new position with new responsibilities, figure out how to delegate what you can, the other work you have or just that routine work that you can give to someone else, one, to help them grow, but then to free up your time to explore new opportunities, to focus on your new roles, your new responsibilities, and having it fresh in that sense so that you offload what you just routinely do every day that you don't necessarily have to do yourself, that you can give to somebody else.
And it's a bonus for that somebody else to be learning something new as well. One other thing that helps keep my day fresh, and I think we actually made an entire episode about it, was about making office connections. And that is speaking with people that you don't normally work with or don't have the opportunity to work with as much as you'd like, learning about what they do, learning how you can work together as a team, or just having a friend around the office that you know, you get a coffee with every once in a while. That can really go a long way in making your day job feel less like a day job and more like a, you know, a working community of people that all have the same goals or same aspirations.
Yeah. And with that, those office connections that Jake, you were just mentioning, and maybe grabbing a cup of coffee and whatnot, it's important to keep your day fresh to help manage your life changes, is that every now and then you get a change of scenery. So you take you put down your laptop, you take a walk outside, you get a cup of coffee, you take a break and talk to your coworkers, or if you know you work at home, you take a walk outside your home office and you just get a breath of fresh air almost, just to change your scenery. Maybe you go work at a different coffee shop, a different part of your office, and just experience the world from a slightly different perspective.
Right. I would say my biggest problem is when I put my laptop down, I can't find it after I go for a walk, but that's a different problem. It's a different change I'll have to deal with.
So in managing life changes positively, you want to have goals that help you align with how you're going to manage those changes and what progress you're going to make in them. You want to make sure you're figuring out ways to maintain a healthy work-life balance when changes do occur in your life and you adjust accordingly. And then you want to keep your day fresh and come at things with a positive point of view and take breaks when you need to help manage the stress of those changes in your life.
Good stuff.
Yeah. So let's see. I think we hit on everything, Jake. The big takeaway from this is changes are going to occur in your development career. We mentioned three areas: in your projects, in your role and responsibilities, and then in life in general. Now, changes are going to happen many other places in your development career and in your life, but focusing on these three, I think we've given some understanding of how to just approach them with a positive learning mindset and treating those every change or challenge you're faced with as a learning opportunity and not a roadblock and not as a negative factor in your progress.
Right. And also identifying that, like you said, Mike, that changes are going to happen inevitably. And I think it's important not to try to avoid change if it's impending. You don't want to sit around because you're afraid. You don't want to sit around because you're hesitant. Like we were saying, put yourself in a situation of discomfort. Learn something new, treat it positively, like you said, and the changes are going to end up making a positive impact in some way or the other.
So I'd like to hear from our listeners. How do you deal with change in your development career? Or what types of changes do you see you have to manage, and how do you treat them as positive learning experiences? We'd love to hear from you on Twitter at DevUpPodcast, or you can always shoot us an email at hello@developingup.com, or go to the episode page for this episode. It's developingup.com/24, episode 24, and leave a comment for other listeners to see and share your experience and how you use changes positively in your career to grow and how you don't avoid them.
Yeah, I'd love to hear about changes that our listeners have made that have made a big impact for them. I think that may help inspire or motivate other listeners as well.
So at the beginning of the episode, listeners, we started with a cliffhanger. So let's get into that. So Jake and I have each been experiencing separate changes in our life. For me, I am happy to announce I've become a new dad, which is very exciting. And that's full of many life changes that have affected my work-life balance that I've had to learn to compensate.
In case you're wondering, Mike looks very, very awake. He looks very well rested. You're very bright.
That's the bonus episode on drinking caffeine. Having those new responsibilities have, you know, focused a change in my perspective on responsibilities. And Jake, I know you're having some changes as well. You're lettering, right?
Yeah, so lettering and calligraphy, there's a lot of things going on in my life, and I guess I won't beat around the bush. It saddens me to say, but I have decided that I'm going to be stepping down from the Developing Up podcast, and this is something that Mike and I have discussed over the past weeks and months, so this is certainly not a surprise to Mike, but we have acknowledged that, you know, we are going to have our goals. We need to follow our goals, and like we said in this episode, we need to pivot at times. And I'm at a time in my personal endeavors that I need to pivot and dedicate the time that I have to the things that are going to serve my long-term vision. So that is why I've decided to step down, and it's certainly not because I don't like this podcast. I love this podcast, and I've had so many wonderful memories here recording with Mike.
Well, you'll still be a listener, right, Jake?
Of course, okay. Of course. And I'd love to come back maybe for
guest spot
or something if you'll have me.
So listeners, changes coming to the Developing Up podcast with Jake stepping down. We're going to miss him here. I'm going to miss our conversations. It's going to be hard to fill your shoes, Jake, with somebody else. So with that, this is the last episode of season one of Developing Up. Probably going to be a little bit hiatus of a break while reconfigure and figure out someone who can start to fill Jake's shoes. No one's ever going to be able to do that. And then managing, personally for me, balancing the podcast with my new life responsibilities. But keep track of the podcast on Twitter at DevUpPodcast. We'll be keeping regular updates, tips and tricks for developing up your career there every day. Send your ideas for episodes you want to hear in season two to hello@developingup.com. I do read, or we read, the emails that we receive and the feedback from listeners, and it's always great. All you listeners are always very positive and have great things to hear and share with us on email and Twitter and on iTunes and Stitcher and Google Play and wherever else you listen to your podcasts. So keep those feedback coming as you re-listen to all the episodes we mentioned today, and share what else you'd like to learn and how we can best make season two work for you.
I'm excited for season two, Mike.
Now, Jake, before we go, do we have some bloopers for the listeners to hear?
I think we might be able to dig some up, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so there's a lot you don't hear in an edited episode, and I think this would be a fun little way to finish off the season. You can hear some of the funny things that we say, or words we trip over, or things that we can't pronounce, things like that.
Oh boy, this is going to be entertaining for you and embarrassing for us. So enjoy.
All right, have a great week, everyone.
Have a great week.
Have a great week. All right.
Till
next time.
Next time.
Next time for you.
All right.
But till next time for me too, because I'll be listening.
All right.
All right. Till next time, everybody.
Bye.
Good evening, Mike. How's it going?
It's going good, Jake.
All right.
Mike, check.
Right. So that was episode.com/17.
Episode.com.
Also shows that you can be a responsible person and that you're thinking with the company's best interest in mind.
Yeah, it goes to show that you're not only just focused on your immediate task, but you're focused on being the best developer you can. The best developers try to solve... That's not good at all. Yes. And that's one of the reasons
why. Let's start that over.
I don't want. Yes.
Am I not going to be able to pay rent? Like, and I know that people go through, you know what? I probably shouldn't talk about financial struggles.
Probably not.
Yeah. Okay.
And also bring them up with you, because then they're going to rise you up as well.
Yeah.
That was very. I don't
it was
think
a good,
I,
it was a good visual.
Was
I was
it
picturing,
all right?
No, it was good. I was picturing kind of like a cheerleading triangle, but.
Oh, that's all right. There you go.
Yeah. We should do that more often in the dev department.
Yeah, once a week is not enough.
He's kidding.
Yeah, it's twice a week. Now.
Ba-dum-bum. Ba-dum-bum. Kind of correct that or just take it a step further and say, yeah, and also this aspect, and kind of comes full circle for them. So, Mike.
Yes, Jake.
All right. Yeah, I think we'll get a little bit more into this later on in the show, but when you actually do ask for help, sometimes it can be good to come up with a, you know, sorry, forget that I just said that. All right.
Give forget.
To the show. Robots. and then
Alexa, subscribe to Developing Up Podcast. Now, listeners, to round it out, we started with a cliffhanger at the beginning of the episode. So Jake and I have some news to share with you. I shouldn't phrase it that way, because then.
I'll do it. Oh, no. I'm a dad.